What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. Pussycat, pussycat, I've got flowers and lots of hours to spend with you. So go and powder your cute little pussycat nose.
Hello, comrades, and welcome back to Season 4, Episode 10 of Spectre. I'm absolutely delighted to be joined by Daniel, Nick and Stella today to talk about some work with Unite Hospitality, but more importantly, the Village Hotel strikes that have recently taken place. Comrades, it's a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks very much for having us, Nathan. It's good to be here.
Perfect. So I guess just kicking us off, for those who aren't aware or somehow aren't aware of Unite Hospitality yet, can you give us a kind of breakdown of you know who you are, what you do, and as well as an introduction from yourselves, you know who you are, your affiliations, and anything else in between?
Well, I'm Nick. I'm the chair of the Glasgow branch Unite Hospitality, as well as the Unite Hospitality National Combine. I guess in terms of from my perspective, Unite Hospitality is obviously a subsector within Unite. Established specifically to deal with a blind spot of the labour movement. It'd been a blind spot for about half a century now, only really addressed in 2017 when we were launched. Since then, we've grown to represent over 35,000 members, albeit that's only 1% of hospitality workers in Britain. So we're a wing within Unite that is the fastest growing, represents a disproportionate number of young workers, but has a long way to go and a lot of growth potential.
I'm Daniel. I'm the lead convener at Village Hotels, and I'm also active in the Unite Hospitality Glasgow branch. And I've been active in the hospitality labour movement for about 2 years now. And I've always worked in hospitality, but ultimately for me, this introduction to trade unions was through Village Hotels. So Stella and I have been organising in Village Hotels for quite some time now. As Nick says, this is a you know, we all at Village Hotels in Glasgow fall under the hospitality branch. So it's been a branch led campaign. We've been doing it for about 2 years now, and of course, as we'll discuss later on, we've had the first ever strike action at a major hotel chain since 1979, and we're now looking to go out again to secure other stuff that we weren't able to get in the first strike.
My name's Stella, I'm 19, studying politics at Glasgow, and I'm a rep at the Starbucks in the Village Hotel. I've also recently become an industrial officer for cafes and hotels in Glasgow, following the success of our strike action. So I first got involved over the summer with the industrial action at the Village. It was quite lucky that I sort of joined this workplace where Daniel had already been kind of establishing this union membership. And yeah, I've just been trying to sort of get involved wherever I can after that. We were the first Starbucks members in the UK to go on strike officially. It was a small number of us, but we've since doubled our numbers in the hotel. So it's pretty cool.
No, great stuff, guys. And yeah, I guess just to talk about the Village Hotel strike in itself then, Nick, you kind of pointed out that the hospitality sector is kind of often put to the side or certainly not put in the spotlight as much, and it's hotel strikes and that you don't hear a lot of the glory of some of the victories and that come from that, or the organising efforts as you do with maybe other sectors or from other unions. So just looking at for a kind of breakdown from you guys, you know, how and why you organised in the Village Hotel, your demands, the actual strike itself, the media reception, and of course, the victory that you mentioned as well, Daniel.
As Nick alluded to at the start, I mean, hospitality, for the most part, is pretty overlooked and neglected to an extent within the trade union movement. It's not, you know, accidental or some sort of coincidence that this was the first strike action at a major hotel chain in nearly 50 years. It's a deliberate It's a systemic and deliberate. These are conditions that we have to work with in this sector that aren't as prevalent in other sectors. It's extremely difficult, not only to organise but just to work in. It's an extremely precarious sector, and that's, it's reflected in what our demands were when we went out. Because when we went out, what we were effectively going out for, and what we will continue to fight for, in December on our upcoming strikes, is things as rudimentary and, universal as equality and equal pay and work. Hospitality, more so than other sectors, is still plagued with pay disparities, most commonly based on age. It's discriminatory. It's been recognised now by the current Labour government as being discriminatory, and it's set gradually to be abolished sometime next year or perhaps the year after that. But these are issues which are more prevalent in hospitality, and it's emblematic of like a wider sort of culture within this industry, which makes it not only extremely difficult to organise, but just difficult as a whole to actually improve these conditions. And that's why hospitality is such a poorly organised sector, because we are overlooked as an industry, not just in a legislative sense or by like past governments, but also by unions themselves. It's not an industry which is given the attention or the diligence that should be.
I mean, I've worked in hospitality since I was 16, and I've never worked a job where I've been paid the same as others for doing the same job just because of my age. And I think there's kind of a weird sort of kind of like faux solidarity that employers create where they say, these are the conditions and you're expected to put up with them, and everyone kind of rallies around the fact that everyone, experiences these poor conditions and, just puts up with them. Everyone has a horror story and everyone has these experiences that they kind of know are not what they should be putting up with, but there's no real sense of what they should be doing about it. And that was what I thought was so important about getting involved with Unite. It was just, I was like, this is the way to actually get change.
Yeah, no, great. And Nick, I think that the last time I had you on the podcast, we were talking about the 13th note, and of course the same issues that you discussed there, the same ones have been popping up across the hospitality sector in terms of health and safety, hygiene, shifts, pay, hours, everything else in between, and more importantly, kind of negligence from managers, from owners. In terms of solving these issues. And when it came to how yous were organizing at the Village Hotel, were you seeing that kind of replication or certainly that repeat at this venue? And what was your thoughts having previously dealt with that as an employee of a place so similar?
I like when Daniel first came to a branch meeting and mentioned the things in Village, it was like, I mean, that would have been what, maybe a year after or maybe 6 months or whatever after the note dispute had settled. And it was like a lot of the issues are identical. The pay disparity between young workers, one that specifically affects female workers, that was something that we had at the note. And we were able to one of the things we were actually able to solve on the run up to strike action. But things like, yeah, like contracts, like thankfully at Village, through like the work of like these two guys, we've been able to sort an end to zero contracts, which obviously wasn't something we were able to do at the note, but it was the same, those same sort of issues that are cropping up. And Daniel's right, like these are systemic issues, like this, the whole post 2008 crash. Which like saw I mean, I was reading something recently. The IMF basically made this argument that to avoid rising unemployment, there should be a we should make labour flexible, right? And funnily enough, it's the exact same argument that they were printing the last couple of days in the Financial Times in the run up to the government's budget. And what that's done is it's basically turned like work into a commodity. And hospitality is one of the most egregious examples of that. Like labor and hospitality is very much like responsive to supply and demand, like any other economy. These guys no longer are, do you know what I mean? Because of what they've achieved by organizing and resisting against it. But like, we have members across the board, and there's millions of workers in this country whose livelihoods and their quality of life is directly responsible to how many people other people are going to the pub, how many other people are going out for food, how many other people, want to stay in a hotel. And when you consider all these things as well, particularly the pub and restaurant game, hotels will always kind of be buoyed a little by the fact that they're predominantly owned by monopolies, and there's a lot of like business usage and whatnot. But local pubs and restaurants are very much reliant on local people having money or tourism. It's always relied on people having expendable income. But when you've got this constant dilution, which is spreading across the board, you're now even dealing with it in places like academia and that, where it was always considered a sort of safe, cushy number. When that's spreading out across the economy, it's a ticking time bomb, really. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I feel like through like working alongside these guys and really just in their shadow, to be honest, because they've been doing all of it, I've been able to see those same things even from the 13th Note, which was a small business. It was by no means independent. The owner had several businesses, but it was a small business compared to like a giant like Village. Those same issues exist across the board. Do you know what I mean? Really, our members are at the forefront of this fight against like casual, not just casualization, but like the complete evaporation of working conditions. Do you know what I mean? And it's almost like, I know I'm droning on a little bit now, but they're fighting against effectively the same issues that the labor movement started its fight against. You know what I mean? When dockers or like folk would other like laborers and whatnot would stand outside the factory gates and be called. Do you know what I mean? Like, they would take in, out of the 100 guys, they would take in maybe 15, 20, 30 a day, and everyone else would have to, piss off home or look elsewhere. We're dealing with almost a similar dilemma. Workers are sort of climbing over the top each other for the little shifts that are going. And it's a sort of self-fulfilling prophecy, like, as I outlined before. So it was heartening to see that from where we were obviously defeated at the Note, unfortunately, and these guys have been able to do the polar opposite and achieve this huge victory. So yeah, there was the parallels, but it's also nice to see the progress as well. Apologies for rambling on a bit then.
No, that's great. And we talk about these kind of issues, how they crop up and everything, and dealing with these companies and actually addressing them. And oftentimes it feels like it does fall on deaf ears. So I guess just from yourselves, Daniel and Stella, you're able to kind of walk us through the kind of process then of how yous organise to the point where you're want to meet the company with your demands, your aims, and then how that led to the kind of strike and how you saw the strike kind of unfold and everything, given the coverage of it in the media and everything else in between. Must have been quite intense for those who was it's kind of first time on a strike or the first time kind of being in a union in that. Maybe that's a great way to sharpen your steel straight away. But if you can give us a breakdown of that, would be fantastic.
But well, this entire campaign within Village Hotels, for the most part, has been around issues that we've discussed, like these sort of systemic issues within the hospitality sector that are really rudimentary, like equality in the workplace. Specifically, I mean, in 2024, when we started actually organising in Village, it was because we at the time operated with we obviously had, we still do have pay disparities, which are discriminatory by nature. But in 2024, we had an additional pay disparity. It was inherently discriminatory, and within the meaning of the Equality Act, it was indirectly discriminatory. We had people who were the same age but were paid differently. There was no there, It wasn't something that we were able to get an explanation on prior to raising it. But effectively, what we had was a situation where predominantly younger women were paid less than their male comparators for doing the same work. And this is something that people had raised individually over the course of a couple of months, and it was dismissed completely every time that it was raised. So in that respect, people became disillusioned with the idea that, individually, tackling these issues might work. People very quickly learned that actually you need to take collective action here, and it's not just collective action, but you have to do it through a trade union. So at the time in 2024, in the summer or the spring, it was March actually. It was March going on April, and we started organizing. We built around five members at the time, which is very small, but with those five members alone, they were able to successfully challenge this disparity, and it was fixed immediately when they did it collectively. People, and it wasn't just for those five members, the entire company had to revisit their entire pay structure. People in Glasgow got up to near just under £3,000 back at the time that year, and that helped not only to obviously redress the discriminatory pay disparity that existed at the time, but also moving forward, it served to empower people. It showed that this is what is possible for a trade union, and it showed that it helped to disillusion everyone else when it came to individual mechanisms of resolving these sort of things. So we continued to organise off the back of that. We managed to negotiate a better, staff taxi policy, which we are now seeking to improve again as we go out this year. We had another issue about e-learning, and this also kind of ties into what we're talking about the systemic issues that plague hospitality. Is that another thing that many hospitality employers do is that they have employees undertake these sort of brand training and statutory, like health and safety training, but they have them do it online. And the reason that many employers do that is so that they can get away effectively with having employees do it in the house unpaid. And this is something that Village did in practice. So we were able to successfully challenge that collectively. People got more back pay from that. And then that takes us on to obviously this year when we had the first strike action in a hotel chain in nearly 50 years. So that strike action that we undertook this year was again about the quality, and we still had a pay disparity, and this time across sites between Glasgow and Edinburgh, and it was fixed. So from the strike alone in 2025 that we had, we had people getting over £3,000 each, in backdated payments, and welcome back to work payments, I guess we'd call it. We also had we were able to agree that the abolition of 0-hour contracts for people that wanted to no longer be on 0-hour contracts. And again, that also ties into the sort of systemic and the inherent conditions that we face in hospitality, is these sort of precarious contracts. We were able to do away with those. And so ultimately, like, whenever we've taken this sort of collective action, for the most part, we've won these sort of grievances that we've had with our employer, and off the back of it, all that's happened is that we've grown more and more, and we've helped to disillusion more people. And it means that, more people are not only comfortable with challenging their employer collectively, but they're actually being introduced to trade unionism. And that's reflected in other Village hotels at the moment, where off the back of our strike in Glasgow, we now have two other Village hotels that are undertaking a consultative ballot for strike action. So it's something that we're able to, albeit gradually, grow, but nonetheless, it's like we're making all this progress to ultimately change the systemic nature of working, and for us Village hotels, but ultimately for other people, what listening to this and watching this from other hospitality employers, it's going to serve to disillusion them as well in respect of taking collective action. But for the most part, in Village, yeah, our grievances have stemmed from really simple, rudimentary areas such as equality in the workplace and equal pay for equal work.
Oh, perfect. That's great, Daniel. And I guess just over to you, Stella, in terms of the actual strike in itself and the, you know, the media coverage. Obviously, it was quite massive, being across STV News and just covered in just about every paper up here in Scotland. I think we especially with the likes of Jeremy Corbyn and all that, obviously attending and some of the days. How would you say the kind of media aspect and the coverage from, I guess, the mainstream press, other worker-owned press such as the Morning Star? How do you feel that kind of helped the strike wave? And do you feel that from the action that yous have taken, the fact it's been put in the spotlight, amplified, and the work is still going on, do you feel that yous have seen or beginning to see that kind of domino effect creeping into the rest of hospitality, with maybe more people warming up to the idea to actually confront their bosses? You know, I think Daniel is quite right there in terms of saying about shaking the disillusionment from people in the hospitality sector, who are often, you know, just told that, you know, nothing will come for what they're wanting to achieve because of the nature of their contracts. It's seen as something that's futile. So just wondering if you can give us a wee breakdown of the strike in the media and that.
Yeah, no, I think it was all really exciting, and I think it's definitely something that's brought these issues to people's attention. Not even in the sense that people didn't know that it was happening, but just that there is actual precedent now for fighting back. I mean, I thought what Nick and Daniel were speaking about in terms of the sort of more systemic issues was really interesting because, you know, like when it's you're talking about issues to do with, you know, pay being divided by age. You've got, you know, the first job that I did, there was different pay whether you're under 18, 18, 21, or if you're over 21. And what that meant was then everyone who worked in that job was basically 16 and 17, because these employers know that if they set such a low bar for the kind of paying conditions, then, you know, people are going to take it. And then moving to the village, and it's like you would expect that such a huge company would be willing to do more than the bare minimum like that, but they've sort of shown that they haven't. And I think being on the picket line and speaking to people about what our demands were and what the issues were, there's a lot of public support for it because I do think that they're quite common sense. You know, we want a living wage, and we want that to be applied equally. So I think to have that kind of broadcast so, you know, widely, I think it'll show people that what we're asking for is not, you know, ridiculous. It's something that every worker should have.
Yeah, no, great. And I guess that kind of media, the fact it was so put in the kind of forefront of the coverage. I think there was a day, not a day, where I didn't hear about something, the strike on social media or whatever. And then I guess, like I said, been amplified by the fact there was certain people in attendance, such as, you know, Jeremy Corbyn and that. Do you think that kind of played a role in itself, the fact that this coverage of the strike wasn't just something that was, it's a hospitality strike, it's back page news, it was something that was constantly talked about every single day, and there was continuous noise about it. Do you think that was really, really effective for going forward and making sure that not only those in the trade union movement weren't just forgetting about this strike, but those in the company were being very clearly reminded that this isn't going away anytime soon?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's really cool to have people in the sort of trades union movement more broadly who like recognize, you know, the reps from the village and sort of know that this has been a success. And like you say, it's not good for the company if they know that this is the sort of PR that they're getting. I think that really, the sort of media coverage really helped our case in terms of the actual, you know, negotiations and what we were able to achieve. So yeah, it's been kind of not what I was expecting, but in a good way. I don't know. It's sort of seeing my face sometimes in these reports is not what I was really expecting to see, but it's cool. It's exciting.
I mean, Village, most hospitality or most employers in general, you know, care massively about their reputation. And Village purports to be like a community-centered employer, where they, you know, the thing with Village is that they have many of their hotels situated in the sort of outskirts of cities rather than the city centres. And a big thing for them is that they are, you know, community-led, and it's when you have a workplace where the average age of the picket line is about 19 or 20 out on strike, fighting for something as, universal as equal pay for equal work, it completely disillusions that image that they're trying to set for themselves, that they're so community-led. And so I think that actually having not just having it prevalent in the media, constantly reminding them of it, but actually having influential, political figures and big names tweeting about it and drawing attention to it, that carries a significant amount of weight, because ultimately, like, village employers, I mean, in general, employers in the hospitality industry won't care if they're able to operate without, with labor brought in from other hotels, then they will, because they simply don't care about the workers that are walking out. But if you're able to actually draw attention to the employer as a brand, then it does make a difference, because unfortunately that's what's going to move an employer in these situations, when they feel that they can get away with it and they can operate while workers are on strike. The only thing that will move them is actually effectively boycotting them nationally and actually drawing attention to it, so that it harms hypothetically, an employee's reputation.
Yeah, no, good
I
stuff.
think it's.
Nick, you want to come in?
I sorry, I just wanted to add to that. It goes back to what I was saying earlier about, like, obviously hotels are tend to be financially more viable just in terms of the backing they have, and they tend to, like, invest in the land around them and whatnot. But they are still, fighting over, like, an ever shrinking market. Do you know what I mean? Even like. Less people travel for work now because you can do what we're doing now and speak over Zoom and hold meetings over Zoom. There's people are generally traveling less for leisure, as you know, or if they are, they're going to more budget sites and whatnot. So one of the big things that makes Village a lot of money is the fact that people drink there before the football and whatnot. And so, as Daniel was saying, because they've got that sort of, like, they try and embed themselves in the community, and as much as they're this big chain pub, it's not as if it's, like, I don't know, some local inn or whatever. They make a lot of money from people just casually drinking there as well, and not necessarily staying at the hotel, and also using the leisure facilities and whatnot. People use the gym; it's a very popular gym, and steam room and sauna and whatnot. So they rely heavily on a shrinking market in terms of people staying there, but also they're vying, like, with Pure Gym and whatnot and your local pub for those other facilities as well. So the brand damage is they are very vulnerable to it. But in terms of the media, I just wanted to mention one thing. Like, and the Star were particularly helpful with this, I thought, but the media coverage in general helped magnify, like, what these guys have done, which is basically break the ice on something that, like, do you know what I mean? It really, like, it can't be understated just how important it was, the fact that not only were they the first hotel strike since 1979, but they were the first successful one since Christ knows when. Do you know what I mean? Like, I cannot find a written record in Britain of a successful hotel strike. So, and they were quickly followed by, a second one in the Radisson Blu with my friends in the UVW down in London. So, like, there is, like, a it has broken ice, and like, these employers are terrified of this. They've never had to deal with organized labor before. They are not briefed in how to deal with their HR departments are not equipped in how to deal with it. And these things can spread like wildfire. I mean, arguably it already is spreading like wildfire. Like, we are growing, not just in Village, but in hotels around Britain. I think the fact that the VUE workers, we had a meeting with VUE workers last night, in preparation for the ballot, which opened this morning. And we'd packed out the biggest meeting room in Unite. We had to, like, bring in extra chairs for all the other ones, and it was rammed. The place was, like, there's a real appetite now, and it's because these guys have broken ice, and the media coverage helped that. You know what I mean? Young people are now speaking about it. It's there's a whole culture in hospitality. Oh, well, sorry, a lack of a trade union culture in hospitality, but it doesn't have to be, like, another 150 years or whatever to rebuild that with, like. Things move quickly these days, and when these things are, you know, going out on the telly and going out in the press and get covered in podcasts and the radio and whatnot, and people are speaking about it, it can really sort of ignite things quite quickly. So I think personally, I think the media is critical to turning this dispute, which is localized and in one unit, into something that could potentially grow into a national dispute for this employer, but also has national implications for hospitality workers around Scotland and Britain.
I think something else about the sort of places that Village get their income from. It's quite interesting in from a Starbucks perspective that we get a lot, like a majority of customers are there solely because they recognise the brand. They're not there for the Village Hotel. You know, we had someone came in and asked, you know, oh, is this actually a hotel that we're in right now? They didn't know, they were just there because they saw the Starbucks logo and that's, you know, they had the app. So the Village makes a lot of money from being partnered with Starbucks, and you know, because of that, they're also able to mark up the prices, which are already kind of, you know, ludicrous. And then on top of that, they're charging extra. I've done a kind of bit of research, and from what I can tell, they're like the, if not one of the most expensive Starbucks in Glasgow in terms of what they're like charging just for a regular coffee. But they're also like they pay the least out of any franchise Starbucks in the city. So it's just kind of fundamentally not equal the way that they operate. And I think as well, the sort of when you look at the kind of history of the disparities that we've looked at and the issues that we've managed to overcome, a lot of them are quite singular and a lot of them are sort of issues that Village have addressed and have acknowledged that they are at fault with, whether it was the sort of gender issue that Daniel worked on last year, or whether it was the fact that there was disparity between Edinburgh. But I think the disappointing thing is they've shown kind of time and time again that they're not willing to address these wider issues, such as the living wage, you know, or equal pay. That could be something that they were being kind of quite radical on, being an employer that was setting a good example, but they're not. They're just sort of, yeah, I would say doing the bare minimum in a lot of regards, which I think is just disappointing to see from a company that obviously has such a high revenue.
Yeah, no, great breakdown. And I guess that kind of leads us on to the victory after doing all the hard grafting and the strikes and everything else in between. One of you is able to talk us through, you know, the demands that were achieved, what you got, and where that kind of puts you now.
Yeah, I mean the strike itself only lasted just over 3 weeks, and pretty early on. I think it was actually the second day of the strike. I had a meeting with the CEO, and he told me that he didn't agree with the disparity that existed, that we were taking industrial action over. And it's remarkable to think that a corporation the size of Village would operate with that disparity, bearing in mind there's been two, you know, substantial collective grievance procedures, you know, made over that disparity, where the head office of the corporation's refused and been intransigent on it. They've refused to fix it, but the CEO is only finding out about it after the fact, after the company was notified of strike action. And even more peculiar is the fact that we're only having this conversation with the CEO on the second day of the strike rather than before the action started. It is bizarre, but ultimately what we were able to get from this in such a short time of actually being outside of work was full redress for the disparity with Edinburgh. And this obviously, it was only really for under 21s that this affected, but ultimately it was fully redressed. Initially the company didn't want to give any back pay over it. When we got into negotiations, the business offered to back pay to April this year. But we were able to push it to full back pay for the entire length that the disparity existed, which is, you know, morally what we should be doing anyway. So it was fully backdated, as I alluded to earlier. You know, people got, you know, some people got over £3,000 back from this. And the other sort of primary outcome of this for us was the abolition of 0-hour contracts within our unit. people can choose to remain on 0 hour contracts, obviously, but ultimately, 0 hour and casual worker agreements are inherently exploitative, and the fact that we were able to remove those sort of contracts, was substantial in and of itself. It's something that's, it's pretty soon next year, the government will set out to remove them anyway as a matter of law. And, employees will be offered guaranteed hours contracts, but it's something that we're able to get ahead of the curve on this time round. But yeah.
Oh, great. Aye, we all love when a strike has a happy ending. Especially one as historic as the Village Hotel, the backdrop, an actual successful one not being found in the records, and the first one in about roughly 50 years. So hoping to see more of that kind of domino effect going through the rest of the hospitality sector. And I guess that kind of brings us on to the next point on the hospitality sector in Scotland. Nick, I obviously know that you know a lot about this, about the kind of general state of it, the difficulties of organising in these workplaces. And it's tough because of how important the hospitality kind of sector is to Scotland, without sounding like too much of an alcoholic. Don't know what I'd do with it. My wee local pub, used for a wide number of reasons. People going out to eat and drink on special occasions, just out and about for the shops, out partying, celebrations. Hell, venues that are organised for trade union events, for fundraising, for strike support, and everything else in between. At the end of the day, when it's other workers are putting in a graft on were trains, were buses, tying it into the hospitality sector as well, were brewing and spirits industry, and all these other places all interlink. The hospitality sector at the end of the day is one where they can come, unwind, relax, and forget about a rough shift and everything they have. And when the wider kind of economic difficulties that are occurring here in Britain, it means that, like you've said as well, that people are not going out as much, they're not using public transport, and there again we have that kind of domino effect as well, with how that impacts the hospitality sector as well. And it just becomes harder as managers use that as a means to tightening their belts or making excuses for their behaviors at work. So just looking to see, Nick, if you can give us that kind of rundown into the work, I guess, Unite Hospitality are currently doing throughout the scene in Scotland, and not just in the workplace, but I guess taking that wider fight to Holyrood with legislation and everything.
No, thanks very much, Nathan. And you're right that like hospitality is the backbone, not just of Scotland's economy, but Scottish social life. Do you know what I mean? Like some of the worst places to live, just in terms of like mental ill health and like quality of living, are places that have unfortunately lost their locals and whatnot as well. They really are the places where pubs and restaurants and whatnot are places where people can congregate, their places of community, but they are obviously held up by workers. And I mean, this is it's a difficult industry to organize in. It's extremely transient. It's the lowest paid workers in the British economy. There's no union culture, and there's like fresh challenges that the union movement traditionally is just not equipped to deal with. Do you know what I mean? So a lot of what we're trying to do is develop new strategies and I guess test them, to be honest. Village has been a great site of like or a great opportunity, I think, as a movement to learn and develop our strategies. Daniel and Stella and a lot of the folk at Village have been at the forefront of that, like learning how we do things. Because for the most part, in the last couple of years, I have to be blunt, what we learned from has been defeat. Do you know what I mean? That like we have had wins in the last couple of years, but this is the first like real sort of like juncture moment, it feels like, where there's been something brand new achieved. And so yeah, it is it's extremely difficult. Even on top of that as well, you're dealing with like a level of precarity labor, and people's lives are so responsive to supply and demand that it breeds like another level of like alienation and like mental ill health, which is something really difficult to deal with as well. Just when you're organizing groups of workers, it's so easy for things just to like collapse completely because of, you know, interpersonal issues or problems that people are facing and whatnot. So it's extremely difficult. It's an extremely tough thing to do. But what we are trying to focus on at the moment, at least in Glasgow, is a pivot towards like a specifically industrial strategy. Right now, I think that the labour movement, or like we have sort of collectively discussed the labour movement, it does a lot on like key issues, but it doesn't really. Like we've almost forgotten how we advance our interest in those key issues. So like social issues are the perfect example. Like the only leverage we have in society to develop and push on key social and economic issues is by withdrawing our labour and forcing capital to move to our position. And that's basically the key program for Unite Hospitality in Glasgow. And this year is a pivot towards centering at the heart of like the left politically, this idea that industrial struggle is the sort of path to an improved, you know, more dignified way of living. We've done like part of what we've done is just moving away a wee bit from village is on the Palestine question in Glasgow. We have some of the, I think, as far as I'm aware, the only workers in Britain that have taken industrial action for Palestine are members at the Stand Comedy Club. And now that this also now includes the Stand as a chain, and the Glasgow Film Theatre refused to handle BDS listed produce. At the Stand in particular, that's resulted in a written agreement with the owner that they'll cut off all financial, cultural, and commercial ties with BDS listed products, promoters, acts, and whatnot. A lesser agreement, but a similar one was achieved at the GFT. There's now the GFT will now no longer stock BDS listed produce on the bar because our members conducted a boycott of them there during the film festival. So we are just trying to push that idea that the workplace is where we achieve things. It's very easy. I'm not trying to shut down other strategies or shit all over strategies, other organisations, but there is a tendency, I think, to for the left to be, you know, like be obsessed with protest and the aesthetic of protest and whatnot, but we have to be frank with ourselves. In the past 30 years, we've achieved very little. While I mean, the economic conditions in terms of developing a left politic arguably couldn't have been better. Do you know what I mean? Working class people have been immiserated over the last 30 years. That should be the bread and butter of the left, is dealing with those issues. And in many respects, we've failed. So I guess Unite Hospitality in Glasgow is trying to push this an industrial strategy on all fronts. Village have sort of led the way in that they've shown that while, you know, there's a rise of reform in Scotland, particularly in that area of the city in Govan, where reform are gaining a bit of traction, it's easy to point your finger at your neighbour and blame them. Whereas these workers, like, you know, I mean, some of the I would challenge somebody to find a younger group of workers. I think the average age was 19. A younger group of workers that have been on strike this century in Europe. I would challenge anyone to find that. They've shown that you don't have to, you know, point fingers at your neighbour to like fight over the scraps. You can turn around to your boss and force it out of them. And yeah, I guess I'm blabbering a little bit, but I think all the preconceptions of hospitality, some of them rightly so, it is a difficult sector to organise. It's a difficult sector to sustain organisation in. It's a difficult sector to win in. It's a very difficult sector to work and try and make a living in. The village workers smashed all of that. It's opened the doors wide open to what else we can do. The VUE strike, I mean, our members are being balloted right now for that, and I'm very confident that that'll be a yes vote. That is a direct result of Village, and now if we can go out in December and get two victories, like who knows what 2026 looks like for the hospitality workers movement. So I don't know if I answered your question there. I just kind of started rambling, but.
No, that was good. I think that covers it quite well. And I think that the kind of the unions have to make sure we're keeping to the kind of bare bones of our bread and butter, not just being involved in, you know, improving the wages, the conditions and workplaces, but, you know, making sure that the union branches themselves are given the tools to involve themselves in the questions of housing and everything else in between, because ultimately that's you can win as many victories as you like across different industries and get as many pay rises as possible. But if your council tax continues to rise in response to that, then your wages are essentially just going straight out your back pocket. So no, I thought it was a great breakdown there, Nick, of the kind of hospitality sector, and certainly looking forward to seeing some of the more work being carried out by Unite Hospitality, and you know, seeing that kind of that fever being caught by many other people within the sector as well. So I guess we're at the stage of, you know, what comes next for the Village Hotel? What comes next for you guys at this particular point? Where do you see this battle still continuing to?
So obviously we are currently balloting for a second wave of industrial action. What we are effectively looking to do in the first instance is to actually secure these conditions that we want. We want the village, who are a company that are owned by Blackstone, the largest property assets manager on the planet, to commit to being a real living wage employer. We want this company to not pay people differently based on any characteristic, whether that's age or gender. We want to have a workplace, at least in the first instance in Glasgow, where we're able to say that we've taken collective action to win these things, and we now have, like a fair workplace where we all actually are treated fairly and are able to work with that dignity. And I think that moving on from that, and something that we spoke about earlier, was spreading out and actually changing the culture and hospitality as a sector when it comes to taking collective action, specifically strike action. We've got a large density of interest in the Leeds Village Hotels, and we're now hoping to transfer across what we've won in Glasgow to Leeds to empower them and to help to. I don't want to say disillusion, because ultimately, I don't think it's the case that many of the employees that I've met are disillusioned. I don't think they were ever illusioned to begin with. But it's ultimately just about replicating the better conditions that we're winning in Glasgow across other village hotel sites, and ultimately just continuing to build on it until we have a workplace where we're able to. We were recognized and being able to collectively bargain for these conditions.
Yeah, no, good stuff. I'm glad to see that that's still the kind of drive forward as well. It's not just taking this and then, you know, a step back, as you know, some places often do. So the fact that there's still that appetite in these workers' bellies, which is fantastic to hear. And I guess just to finish everything off, you know, from yourselves, it's been great to have yous on. So just looking to see if yous have got, you know, any kind of final talking points, and whereabouts can we find Unite Hospitality and that on social media, so we can keep up to date with either industrial action at Village Hotel, or at The View, or at any other of our kind of favourite venues that we frequent.
From the social media side, you can find Unite Hospitality on Twitter. We're Fair Hospitality, and the Glasgow account is Glasgow Unite. And then on Instagram, we're Unite Hospitality, and the Glasgow account is Unite Hospitality GLA. So yeah, we've got those two mediums. So we also, by the way, just for I mean, might as well chuck it in the end. Myself and Daniel will both be making runs for the EC. So if anyone fancies following that on Instagram, I'm Nick for EC.
I don't have one yet.
Daniel's not made one, but it will likely be Daniel for EC, or I'll be sharing it anyway on mine if anyone fancies it. So yeah, come along, support the campaign if you're a Unite member. You work in services, or you're a young member, please consider giving us your vote for a more progressive, worker centred radical militant Unite the Union.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. And again, Daniel, Nick, Stella, thank you very much for taking the time out. I know it's that busy time of year in November. So thanks very much for taking the time to cover this, and I look forward to getting this out.
Thanks for
Thank you so
having
much
us.
for having us.
Thanks again, comrades, for tuning in to another episode of Spectre. As always, be sure to share us with your comrades, co-workers, friends, and everyone else in between. And of course, be sure to share us on social media. We're roughly 100 followers away from 1,000 on Twitter, so be sure to give the account a like, a follow, and share it with your friends. The workers at the Village Hotel have achieved a massive victory, a victory that we must cherish, and more importantly, a victory that we must learn from. We need to take this into the rest of the hospitality sector and whatever other sectors we can apply their learnings to. Not only in how they organised in a workplace, but how they organised in their union. Young, radical workers eager to make their lives better and the lives of their fellow workers. And now they want to see their unions organised in the same fashion. It can't be understated the importance of the hospitality sector, especially here in Scotland. Every single one of us uses it, whether it's drinks in the pub before a football match, a dinner with our loved ones, or to a venue to celebrate and to listen to some of our favourite bands and musicians. The workers in these venues do an important job. They feed us, they water us, and they make sure we're entertained and safe. So let's stand up for them and serve them for a change. And serve them with solidarity. Because not a pint is poured, a meal served, or a sound system hooked up without the effort of the workers. Solidarity with the Village Hotel workers, onwards and upwards to unite hospitality.